Okay, today is Wednesday, March 11th, Shishan Purim. This is the women's chumash here. We're in the middle of Parshat Nitzavim, Perek Chaf Tet of Sefer Dvarim.
Okay, Rabotai. We got plenty. Okay, Rabotai. Okay, we're up to Perek Chaf Tet, Pasuk Tet Vav. Perek Chaf Tet, Pasuk Tet Vav. And now Moshe is going to begin to frame the covenant which he, and the oath, the Shvuah, which he's made, which he is expecting every member of Am Yisrael to take. There is one particularly difficult phrase and a pasuk, and in order to appreciate, we're going to have to read the sequence of psukim, first through Rashi's perspective, then reread it through Ibn Ezra's mind, and then read the same psukim again through the Ramban's perspective, because they all three have different approaches as to what Moshe is trying to tell us. So I'm going to read the four or five psukim which constitute this brief unit as Moshe frames this covenant established with everybody in public. Everybody is assembled. This is not the normal method of transmission of any piece of Torah. As you well know, Am Yisrael didn't hear the entire Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu or even from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu told it to the Zekanim, and the Zekanim shared this with all of Am Yisrael. This is directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. And here is what he says. Here is Pasuk Tedva. Ki atem yidatem. Eight asher yashavnu be'eretz Mitzrayim, ve'eit asher avarnu b'kerav hagoyim asher avartem. We all know that we spent quite a bit of time in Mitzrayim, and we also had the opportunity to interact with other nations as we've been traveling along. We've seen Sichon and Og and Par, and now we're going to enter the Kna'ani territory. And what happened each and every time? Vatiru et shikutzehem, and you saw their abominations. Abominations. The word mishukatz means an abomination, disgusting things, and that's how it's, you know, been applied in a rather negative form to certain people of our community. But it really, the word shegetz doesn't mean Gentile or younger. You know, it doesn't mean it. It means abominations. And it's referred to specifically in Avodah Zarah. It's always in the Torah used to people who identify or associate with Avodah Zarah. That's how the Torah uses the word Meshukat exclusively. In no other way does the Torah use that phrase, except in the context of Avodah Zarah. If you will take a look, for example, a pasuk which we did a while ago, you'll find it again there. Yeah. Please open up to Perek Zion, Pasuk Chavav, for a second in Sefer Dvarim. Perek Zion, Pasuk Chavav. Chavav. Actually, start with Chavay. Silei Eloheihem tisrafun ba'esh. Their images of God shall be burnt in fire. Lo tachmod kesef v'zahav aleihem v'lakachta lacha. Don't covet all of the gold and silver decorations that you might find on these getchkes. Pen tivakeshbo, perhaps you will stumble. Ki toavat Hashem alokecha hu. This is abominable unto God. Velo tavi to'eva el beitecha. You are not supposed to bring an abomination into your house, even if you don't plan on worshipping it. You're not permitted to bring an avodah zarah, any image, even if you don't plan on worship, into your house. Velo tavi to'eva el beitecha. V'hayita cherim kamahu. It shall be prohibited unto you like Avodah Zarah itself. Cherem is doesn't mean to excommunicate somebody in the Torah. Charamim are contributions made to the Beit HaMikdash. The Torah speaks about them in Shmuel, in Vayikra chapter 26. Kol cherem lashem yiyeh. You donate something using the word zaharameh. Remember, if you know on Kol Nidrei Night? Zaharameh, that's what it means. Charamim. Or it's a commitment that you make, a specific commitment to the Beit HaMikdash. Anything associated with Mikdash, you are not permitted to derive any benefit from it. So Avodah Zarah is Vahayita Cherem Kamohu. These items shall be treated like what? Something that has been donated to the Mikdash. It's holy. Obviously it's not holy, but you're not permitted to derive any pleasure from it. Shaketz Tishatzenu. The verb form. Make it Mishukatz. Shaketz Tishatzenu. Okay? That's what the phrase means. It's always associated with Avodah Zarah. And this Isur of Lo Tavi Toeva El Beitecha, the Rav once applied this in a most startling fashion. It was unbelievable. We were shocked. Shocked. It was before my time that I heard about it. In 1963, when President Kennedy was shot, so he was shot, if you remember, 1:12 Friday afternoon on that, what? Oh, I remember that. I remember watching Walter Cronkite. Getting on Channel 2. So, anyhow, there was a decision that had to be made where the funeral was on Monday. And the Rav and Rav Moshe Feinstein were consulted whether or not yeshivot should be closed on the day of Kennedy's funeral or not. And the decision was they were closed. We had no school that day. There was no school on the day of Kennedy's funeral in deference to the president. There was no school that day. The public schools were closed, and they made a decision that yeshivot would be closed. All yeshivot, all strikes, except for the Chassidish world. But Torah Mesorah school, Torah Mesorah, they were all closed. Fine. The Rav said, very nice to stay home. He said, you're not allowed to watch the funeral at in the church service on television. And he quoted this pasuk, "V'lo tavi to'eva el beitecha." The Rav was very, very much anti people frequenting Catholic churches. He had this thing. He took a very strong position against visiting the church under any circumstances, and here he felt even bringing a church service into your house.
A church service.
And he said, okay, you should not go to school, but don't watch it on television. You're not permitted. He said, I don't know if he meant it seriously, that you're not permitted to watch a church service, and that's a violation of Lo Tavi Toeva El Beitecha. So he took it pretty seriously. And it emerged a couple of weeks ago when Rabbi Luchstein went to the National Cathedral. It is based on the fact that the Rav understood the history of the Catholic Church vis-a-vis Am Yisrael. How many hundreds and thousands of lives of our people they have taken in the name of their church. And he said, we shouldn't, he felt very strongly against it, that there were no, and he always used to quote this pasuk. But
No.
They relied on it. But the reason why I brought you that pasuk is to show you that Mishukat is a name for a person associated with Avodah Zarah. That's what a real shekits is. That's what a real shiktz is. Somebody who is an idolater. That's the way the Torah uses that word in no other context. No other context. Of course, it's become used differently. Vatiru et shikutzehem. V'etgilu lehem eitz forever. And you have seen their abominations, their idols made out of wood and stone. Kes v'zahav asherimahem. And you've noticed their beautiful adornments that are gold and silver. Pen yesh bochem ish o isha. Perhaps there will be within your midst a man or a woman, o mishpacha, or an entire family, o shevet, perhaps even an entire tribe, asher levavo pone hayom me'im Hashem Elokeinu, whose heart is turning, drifting away from our God, lo lechet la'avod et Elohei ha'goyim ha'hem, and will be now so inclined to worship these gods. Pen yesh bochem, perhaps there is within your midst, shoresh pore rosh v'la'ana. I'm not translating it because I can't translate it. We're going to have to read how, as I said, how everybody somehow translates it. It refers to some type of vegetation, bitter vegetation. We'll see in a minute. V'haya. Bishamo et divrei ha'ala hazot, when they hear the curses that will be included in this covenant, curses, oaths, and curses that will be associated with this covenant, v'hit barech bil vavo lemor, and this person or this family or this tribe will say to themselves, shalom yeli, nothing's going to happen to me. Ki bishrirut libi elek, I will follow the inclinations of my heart. Lima'an sfot harava et hatzmeya. Something, rava means something that is satisfied or watered very well. And smeya means thirsty. So we'll see what the imagery is trying to portray. That's what I said, there's a difference of interpretation. So what's in effect happening here? Somebody is going to be impressed based on that which you've been exposed to, and you've been exposed to it quite frequently. And I know how tempting it is. So you will find an individual, or even a shevet, who will say, oh, we'd like to worship this type of Avodah Zarah. And they will hear the curses and the covenant that we're establishing now and the threats that are associated with it if you don't observe. And what will they say? Nothing to worry about. We're exempt. Why are we going to be exempt? We'll see in a minute. So what will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction to such people? Lo yoveh Hashem sloach lo. God will never consider forgiving such a person. Ki az, what will he do? On the contrary, ye'eshan af Hashem v'kinato ba'oshahu. God's anger will burn, and his rage will be noticed on that person. V'ravtza bo kol ha'ala. And the entire curse will lie upon him. Which curse? Haktuva b'sefer hazeh, which is written in this book. U'macha Hashem et shmo mitachat ha'shamah. God will obliterate his name from the face of this earth. Very powerful words. So now let's see who we're talking about and what exactly is this family saying with this declaration. Let's see. So as I said, first we're going to read Rashi straight through. And then we'll reread it through Ibn Ezra and Ramban's perspectives. A lot of different interpretations. And we're starting with Rashi as we always do. So please take a look at Rashi in Pasuk Tetvav. Ki atem yedatem, you know, says Rashi, l'fi shere'item ha'umot ovdei avodah zarah, you've seen people practicing idolatrous behavior. V'shema, perhaps, heisi lev echad mikem, oto lelechat achrehem. Maybe one of you will think, come up with an idea, this seems pretty attractive and I want to follow them. Pein yesh bachem. Lefikach. Therefore, anit sarich lahashbiachem. I find it necessary for you to take an oath. I must demand that you articulate this oath verbally.
The Allah is the oath.
That's correct. The Allah is the oath. That's correct. I demand that you take this oath. Now, Moshe knows very well how accurate his words are, and how he has used this as a defense up until now to defend Am Yisrael. This very statement that you have been exposed to idolatrous behavior in Egypt all over has been one of Moshe's most powerful arguments that he's ever used. Anybody who was in shul on Monday morning or afternoon, we read Parshat Vayechal, the Torah reading associated with the Talmid Tzibur. So please open up for just a moment to Shmot, Perek, it's this week's Parsha, getting a preview of this week's Parsha. Parshat Ki Tisa, I believe it is Perek Lamed Aleph or something. It's Shmot.
Good. Keep going. Good. There you go. Okay. That's Lamed Bet. Pasuk Yud Al.
Pasuk Yud Al. Lamed Bet Yud Al. This is the Torah reading for every Ta'anit Tzibur. Even though the Mishnah doesn't tell us to read this. You know what the Mishnah tells us to read on a Ta'anit Tzibur every Ta'anit Tzibur? Brachot u'klalot. That's what we read in Parshat Ki Tavoh or Bechukotai. That's what we've been studying for. That's what you should read. Because that's a perfect way of presenting the two alternatives. We ignore the Mishnah, we follow a Braita, and we read Vayechal Moshe et Pnei Hashem Elohav. This is after the Cheta Egel, right? Golden calf described in great detail. Am Yisrael worshipped the Egel. Moshe comes down. He is shocked. And now he has to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayechal Moshe et Pnei Hashem Elohav. Vayomer, what does he say? Lama Yechere Acha Bamecha. What are you getting so angry at that? I think we were getting so angry at them. It just worked. There's no way we were getting so angry at them. But what did he say? Asher hotseisa me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yad hazakah b'rizro v'nituyah. Why are you getting so angry at this nation who you took out of Mitzrayim with a powerful hand? What do you mean? That's exactly the point. You took them out of Mitzrayim. They should owe you a debt of gratitude. But Moshe's point is, and who do you think put them into Mitzrayim? Oh, God. Who do you think put them into Mitzrayim? You did. They lived there for 210 years. They were exposed only to idolatrous behavior. What do you expect for these people 6 weeks after getting out of Mitzrayim? It's just not fair to expect that they should become so devoted to you that, what are you getting so angry at them? Partially, it's your fault, the Rabbi Yishmaelim. So Moshe uses this argument initially to defend Am Yisrael. And what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's initial plan? What was his initial plan? Destroy every single one of them. And according to the way the text reads, just look at what happens. Zecholav and Evelav is look at the next pasuk, and then Yudali. Vayinochem Hashem. That's a Vayinochem. He reconsidered. It's a very powerful word to use about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He reconsidered. He changed his mind. It's hard for us to imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu changing his mind.
Based on what one person...
Exactly. What do you mean? Once he makes a decision, that's it. No. He initially decided he was going to kill everybody. But he decides to change his mind and defer to Moshe's request, and he spares all of Am Yisrael, save a couple of thousand people who actually bow down, as the text later says. But this is Rabotai 40 years later. Now, as they're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe is not using that as an excuse any longer. Oh, they lived in Mitzrayim. I know it's still going to be tempting. I know that. I am aware of the fact how easy it is to succumb to idolatrous behavior. I know how easy it is. And not only did you see Mitzrayim for 210 years, but every nation who you now encounter. We encountered the Amori. We encountered Sichon. We encountered Og Melech HaBashan. You're going to come into Canaan. All they are is idolaters. So I know the temptation, but I'm not going to give you that excuse any longer that it was only 6 weeks, you know. It's been 40 years already. And now you've seen enough during the course of 40 years in the Midbar that you should be able to garner the strength to reject it. And I tell you, every single time that we do something about Avodah Zarah, we haven't a clue as to what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about. We don't understand it. Because you and I cannot understand the attraction to Avodah Zarah. What do you mean attracted to a piece of wood? What do you mean attracted to a god, to a golden calf? What does that mean? It's ridiculous. And I've told you this all the time. This ta'ava, this drive for Avodah Zarah, was something that was equated with every other drive, and Anshei Knesset HaGdolah asked God to change human behavior. They begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change human behavior and strip a human being of the drive of Avodah Zarah. That's why in 70 years there's such a tremendous difference between Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni. During Bayit Rishon, Avodah Zarah rampant in all segments of Am Yisrael. You don't need me, just read every single Navi. Just read this week's Haftarah, which we're not going to read because it's Parshas Parah. But you'll read the story of Achav, right? Who supported Nevi'e Habal, challenged by Eliyahu. Right? And all he does is an idolater. Him and his wife, Izebel, and everybody else. That's all they did. And we're talking about rational people here, intelligent people. We can't understand. Suddenly, by a change, nobody's worshiping Avodah Zarah. 70 years later. It's a fundamental change. You can't explain it. And I always give you this same illustration. Every time. I'm sure you remember it. You probably wrote it down. Did you write it down? Good. What was Abai's dream? Who did he see in a dream? The greatest idolater in Jewish history. A king, Menashe. 51 years he was a king of Israel. There was not an idol that he didn't worship. Not one. And Abaye, Amoraic sage, saw him in a dream. And he asked Menashe, what, are you crazy? How can you be attracted to that garbage? And what was his response? If you lived in my time, you would kiss the tuchus of every single Avodah Zarah. Help me write it down. Quote.
I remember.
You kiss the tuchus of every Avodah Zarah. You just don't understand it. In Abai's time, that taiva doesn't exist. Moshe Rabbeinu is confronting it. But I'm not giving you an excuse any longer the way I petitioned to you 40 years ago. Now you're going to come and make this statement, you're going to face the music. Yes.
What about today? What are we saying?
Today we don't have... there are some people, but the majority of...
No, but I mean, what do we say about Catholicism? Catholic.
Okay, it's a debate. As to whether we consider them real idolatry or not, that's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, and it's very unusual. The Rambam believed that Catholicism is Avodah Zarah, and Islam is not. And the Ramban thought just the opposite. Islam is Avodah Zarah, and Christianity is not. And it's a little difficult, and historians have said, the only reason why they said what they did is because the Rambam lived in Muslim Spain, so he had to say that. And the Rambam lived in Christian Spain, he had to say that. So we don't take either of their opinions as it. But the majority believe that, theoretically, believing in a trifold God, that constitutes Avodah Zarah. But Christianity does represent Avodah Zarah. But you don't have the attraction today to worship, even Christians, they don't bow down to idols any longer. They don't have that. Yeah.
What about the Eastern cultures? They bow
down. Oh, they do. That's real Avodah Zarah. But that's not an attraction on our... The world at large doesn't feel that tug to worship it. There are some who do. There's no doubt. No doubt. So here Moshe now says, so let's just continue read Rashi and then just get to his argument. Pasuk Tetzayin. Vatir'u et shikut sehem. Rashi wants to know, why do you call an Avodah Zarah Shikta? Al Shem Shehem Me'usim Kishkatsim. Because they are as revolting as Shkatsim. What are Shkatsim?
Incest.
Incest, correct. It's in Parsha Shmini in the Torah. In Parsha Shmini, the Torah talks about what? Certain bugs that creep on the ground and you're not allowed to eat it. Sheket hu lachem, says the Torah in Vayikra chapter 11. Sheket hu lachem. So therefore there is an abominable and disgusting as these little bugs. So this is also considered disgusting. Yes.
Can you interpret going after gods of other nations to be appreciating those other nations because each nation had its own god?
No. It means the gods. It means following their religious lifestyle. Not the nation
not
itself.
The nation.
That's correct. Then Rashi wants to know, why are idols called Gilulehem? Right, the next phrase in Pasuk Tet Zayin. Ve'et Gilulehem, eight for Evan. Says Rashi, you don't have to know what the word of Gilu, what does Galal mean? Gilulehem mean, Galal means feces. Animal feces. So why do we call them Avodah Zarah? Shemusrachim umeusin kigalal. Mazem musrachim, eshtink. And they are disgusting, ma'us, revolting, like galal, like animal feces. Eitz v'even, osan shel eitz and v'shel avanim, re'item b'galui. Those made out of wood and stone, you've actually seen with your own eyes. Lefi she'ein hagoy yorei shema yignavu. Gentiles are not terribly worried that you're going to steal wood and stone, because they're pretty common materials. Aval keset v'zahav imahem. Rashi's reacting to the end of the last verse in the phrase, in that pasuk, in pasuk 9. Kesev v'zahav asher imahem. Where are the golden and silver gods? In their bedrooms. Imahem b'chadrei maskitam hein. Why? L'fi shehen yireim shemi yignovu. They don't put these out in public, so therefore it's not that you see them. But I'm telling you, I know they're there, and I don't want you to be attracted. Let's keep going. Pen yesh bachem. Shema yesh bachem. Asher levavo poneh hayom. Milekabel olav habrit. There are those who will not be interested in accepting the proposed covenant. And what will they say? We want to worship these gods. And now, pen yesh bachem. Shoresh poreh rosh v'la'ana. Says Rashi. Shoresh poreh rosh v'la'ana. Shoresh Migadel Esev Mar Kigidin Shehem Marim Kilomar Mafre Umarbe Rasha Bekir Bechem. So Harashi now says the following, that when you start off with one person who what? Who decides to worship these gods, what is now going to happen to such a person? Shoresh, poreh. What word is the word program? To multiply. True or vu. Exactly. So it's contagious.
It's like a weed.
Exactly. Correctly. Correct. It's a very bitter weed, but it begins to multiply very rapidly. And if you now have one person, or one tribe, or one family, what is Moshe's concern that what's going to happen? Suddenly starts spreading like wildfire. Of course, no doubt. Zehaya. I'm killing with Rashi. Bishamot Ibrahim, Vihit Barech Bilvavo Lemor. Says Rashi. Vihit Barech Bilvavo Lashon Biracha. Yachshov Bilibo Birchat Shalom La'atzmo. A person will say, after worshipping Avodah Zarah, I'm going to be blessed. I will be blessed. Why? Lamor, top of the, continues Rashi. Lo yivi'uni klaot halalu. These curses are not going to impact. I don't believe that they're going to happen. I don't believe it. Ach shalom yeli. I am going to live tranquility and in peace. I have nothing to worry about. So now what happens? Ki bishwirut eli be'elech. Now comes a critical turn, according to Rashi. Lema'an svot harava et hatzmeya. So now, let's read the Rashi, the caption. He doesn't say anything unusual in the next two Rashi. Let's look it carefully. Lema'an svot harava et hatzmeya. Lefi she'osif lo puranut al ma she'asa adhena bishogeg v'hayiti Ma'avir Alehem. What does this mean? Up until now, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? When you worshipped Avodah Zarah many years ago, I was willing to forgive you. I did forgive you. I didn't kill everybody. I was prepared to forgive you. And I did. Knowing full well that you had an excuse. What's the excuse? We were so influenced, we lived amongst them for so many years. But when you repeat it now, after 40 years, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to himself, obviously there was another reason why you worshipped Avodah Zarah at that time. Because you like it. How do I know? This is not the next generation yet. How do I know that you like it? Because you're doing it again. Therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only am I going to punish you for what? For doing it now, but it's going to show me what the true reason why you did it way back then, and I'm going to take it out on you for that as well. That's how Rashi interprets it. He interprets the word rava and sne'ah as referring to bishogeg and mezid. Bishogeg and mezid. Let's read it inside. Lefisha, I'm reading again, beginning with the caption, Leman Svot Harava. Lefisha Osiv Lo Puranut Al Masha Asa Adhena Bishogeg. V'hayiti Ma'avir Alehem. Up until now, I what? Was willing to pass over it. I am willing to forgive and forget. Vigoreim ata. And now, by engaging in Avodah Zarah this time, it causes she'atzarfeim im hamezid v'ipara mimenu hakol. And I will pay them for everything that they've done. V'chein tirgim unkelis. Bidil le'uspale chato'i shalvasa alzdenusa. Where God will now what? Compound the mezid and take that which was done b'shogeg and add it. She'osif lo al hashgagot al hazdonot. How does he get to that? Harava shogeg. Shehu ose adam shikur shalom vidat. Rava means that you're drunk. You had a lot to drink. That's what it really means. You had a lot of something. Exactly. But what are you satiated? Not with water, but with drunk. You drank too much. And when you drink too much, what happens? You do things which are beyond your control. That's shogeg. And then smeah is shehu ose midaat ubita'ava. Smeah means you're not only under the influence, you're thirsty.
You're seeking it.
Exactly. You're seeking pleasure. So that's how Rashi interprets what's happening here. Lima'an spot harava et hatzmeah. That God will pay something back. In fact, you now have to go to again to Parshat Ki Tisa and see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned us about this way back in Parshat Ki Tisa. So go back now to Shmot Lamed Bet. Maybe it's in Lamed Gimel already also.
Oh, here it is. Pasuk Lam, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Lamed Dal. Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Lamed Dal.
Lamed Bet, Lamed Dal.
What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Ve'ata, Lech Nechaya Ta'am, Eit Asher Dibarti Lach.
Go and lead the nation, that which I've just told you, I'm willing to forgive, right?
Hinei Malachi Yelech Lefonel.
I'm not going to try to explain this. God said, I am not going to accompany you directly. I'm going to send an angel, Malachi, to lead you. Whatever that means, I don't know.
Ubiyom Pakti Ufakadati Alehem Chatata.
Ubiyom Pakti Ufakadati Alehem Chatata. What does the English translation say?
When I make, on the day that I make my account, I shall bring this into account against them.
What exactly? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what? Moshe Rabbeinu might be right. Maybe I overreacted this time. But I'm going to file it in the back of my mind. And if I see this happens again, Ufokadati Alehem Chatasam. Now I remind you of what? What you did way back then. You can't use that as an excuse any longer. That's how Rashi interprets the symbolism of Sfot Harava et Hatzmea. You take a situation of which was done b'shogeg, and it now becomes kizdonot. Kizdonot. In fact, that is why, if you remember our Al-Chayt on Yom Kippur, we asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al-Chayt Shechatanu Fanecha Bizadon Vishgaga. You require atonement even though you did something Bishogeg. You require atonement. Because if you're not atoned for something that you did Bishogeg, what happens? Comes back to haunt you next time around. Comes back to haunt you. So it's not only that which you do deliberately. Even b'shogeg. So give me the classic illustration of somebody who does something wrong b'shogeg. Turn on a light. He thought it was Friday. I observe Shabbos. Correct. You bring the Korban Chatas and you have to ask for tshuva and kapara. Why? I didn't intend to be Michal Shabbos, but an Avera B'Shogeg also constitutes an Avera, even though you have an excuse. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to pile on Tacha Lomed Rashi. And then he just says, what will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? Lo Yoveh Hashem Sloach Lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in forgiving you for that type of a statement. If you're going to claim that you're not going to be, you'll claim, I'm exempt. Now, Rashi does not explain what's running through the guy's mind who says, I'm going to be exempt. Shalom Yihyeli. Why does he think for a second that I'm not going to be cursed? Why does he think he's exempt from the curse, right? Why does he think it? Rashi doesn't tell us that. Why should he think nothing's going to happen to me? What?
Maybe
he's protected by the Avodah Zarah, or
if the tells him the right thing to do, then
good, very simple. So,
or it could be that if the Shkagah is put off, maybe he thinks that he doesn't see the direct connection.
Good. All I'm saying is Rashi himself didn't fill it in. He's leaving it up to our imagination. What you all said is accurate. Could be any one of those. Ibn Ezra and Ramban believe that there is something in the text that tells us directly what's running through their mind. Yes.
I don't know if it's going to
be in the text. Okay, I didn't explain.
Thinking that maybe this Laman, I mean, really is what, it's just like the last part of the pasuk before was describing the people that were going to do this, and then it said same year, Shochem Shomer, so there was going to be like a we that was going to affect the other people. Maybe this Laman Soharavat Hasmaya is, again, what this person is going to do to other people. He feels like he's full, and he has this, you know, fullness from the Avodah Zarah, and that he's going to then capture all those people that he feels are thirsting for it.
Correct, he will. Correct. That's what others are going to say. That it's not necessarily referring to himself and becoming, you know, from Shogig to Mesis, but he's going to try to capture other people. Correct. We'll see that in 2 seconds. That's good. So now let's see a second approach as to what's happening. A second approach. Says Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says like this. You well know that there are two different ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to members of Am Yisrael. There are times he focuses on you as an individual. But there are also times when he focuses on the nation as a whole. Okay. Use that as a model. Tell me what's running through this Russia's mind.
But the nation as a whole, I can never destroy these. We say that with, remind me, I can't remember.
I know what you're referring to. Ashma. Ashma. The text of the bracha. I'll remind you in a second. I will show you exactly what it says.
Is that a parallel?
Correct. What you're referring to is as follows. Listen to the text. That's exactly where I was going. Listen to the text of Yom Kippur davening. You'll remind yourself. Baruch Ata Hashem. Melech Mochel V'Soleach La'Avonoseinu V'La'Avonot Amo Beit Yisrael. Uma'avir ashmoteinu b'chol shana v'shana. But doesn't say uma'avir ashmat amo beis Yisrael b'chol shana v'shana. So the Rav explained, citing the Ramban. The Ramban says that the word ashma refers to a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so annoyed that what will he do? He's going to obliterate everybody. As he threatened by the Meraglim, as he threatened by Yego, that you don't have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Ma'avir Ashmat Amo Beis Yisrael. Why? Because he's already promised he's never going to do it. The only thing you have to worry about is Ma'avir Ashmoteinu. Individually, he's willing to go ahead and what? Destroy some people. Avonot, there are major categories. There is Avonot of but for Ashmat, there's no necessity. So this guy says, you know what? I'm going to ride the Tzaddik's coattail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to kill me. Why won't he kill me? Because there's a Tzaddik right here. Tzaddik impels. He thinks... That's how he reads the pasuk. Let's read it right now. Let's read Yudchet. V'haya b'shamo adivrei ha'lazot v'hit barech b'lvavo le'mor. Shalom yihyeli. Why will I think that what? Why do I think that what? I will be saved, even though he means despite b'shvirut libi elei. Despite the fact that I am going to follow my own heart, I'm going to be saved. Why? Lima'an svot harava et hasmeya. What are the imageries of the rava? The tzaddikim are referred to as the rava. They are full, they are satiated exactly. Smeya, the thirsty ones, are the rishaim. they're lacking merit. But once you have the what? Svot harava. The he uses the word, remember when Abraham was planning, was challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Sodom and Amorah? Ha'ah? Tispeh! Sadikim Rasha! Ha'af Tispeh! Levan Svot. God is never going to kill the Sme'ah because of what? Because of the Rava. The Tzadikim are here to protect me.
So he's responding to the word it.
What?
So the response is for the word it?
No, no. It's, they, all right, it could be with. He will never destroy the Rava with the Tzme'ah. That's correct. So he has this misguided conception that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment is only on the cloud. And if being only on the cloud, since there are so many tzaddikim, I am guaranteed to survive.
We have this concept, though, in terms of if you we have
correct. We,
same idea, basically.
Right. But that idea is the reverse. We acknowledge that we may not be worthy of your consideration, Rabbi Nishon, but let me join upon the coattails of Klal Yisrael. But not for somebody to use it in a negative sense. You know what? I'm immune. I'm going to be protected based on the fact that the Klal are tzaddikim. So the imagery that is being portrayed and the argument that this person uses is directly in the text. Namely, I read it again. The person will say to himself, Shalom Yihyeh Li. I am going to be full of peace and tranquility. Nothing going to happen to me. Ki, despite, Lamrot Shebishrirut Li B'Elei. Despite the fact that I'm going to follow my heart's desire. Why? Lima'an, because God will never, what? Svot haravai, tatsmeyah. He will never destroy the good with the bad. He's never going to do that. And since he will allow the good to survive, who else is going to survive? Me too. So I'm immune. I got nothing to worry about. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. Lo yoveh Hashem, sloah, lo. Everybody else will be forgiven. But I'm going to attack you very, very harshly. That's how Ibn Ezra understood the flow of what's happening here. Yes?
Is that by people saying in the goodness of Rav, blah, 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 God will forgive me? Or when you're praying, there are people who invoke...
That's correct. They're of tzaddikim. Yes, they ask you to... That's correct. To get along on their coattails. That's what people do. Right? People who go to cemeteries and stand by the Lubavitcher Rebbe's and you know, go to Israel, you can spend your whole life running to Kvarim and asking people, you know, if you believe in that, that's fine. Yeah, no problem. Okay, Rabotai, we'll stop here. We'll continue next week with the Ramban and then something very interesting from the Chassam Sofer.